First Thessalonians, one of the letters Paul wrote to the church there at Thessalonica, and it tells us something very important this morning that we want to talk about. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of the darkness. So Paul tells about the coming rapture of the church. And I'd like to talk a little bit with you today about how close is the rapture. Ever since, especially in the 70s, early 70s, we've heard a lot of prophecy preachers talking about the imminent return of Christ or the rapture of the church. And many of us have been looking and expecting the rapture to take place any time. With all that's going on in the world, and we've seen wars, we've seen protest, we've seen so many things going on of great devastation. Surely the coming of the Lord must be near for the rapture of the church. But it hadn't happened yet, has it? Because we're still here. Ever since Israel became a nation in 1948, ministers have been preaching that the rapture of the church is near. And that was a big event when Israel was recognized as a nation again. And I remember that as a young lad when that took place. The Bible has clearly prophesied that God has a program that is being worked out with the nations of the world. God has a plan. Time is not going to keep going on like it's been going on. There's going to be a turn of events. About 600 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream that terrorized him. But the next morning, he could not remember the details of his dream. I dream at night. Next morning, I get up. I can't remember what it was. I bet you're the same way. Well, he had a horrible dream, and the next morning he couldn't put it together, but he knew it was horrible. So he called all his wise men together and demanded that they tell him his dream and what it meant, or else he was going to put all the wise men to death. And the wise men felt so helpless because of the king's demand, and felt this was too much to be expected of them. How could they tell him what he dreamed and interpret it on top of that? Surely the king must know it would be impossible for them to know what the king had dreamed. So Daniel, a Hebrew boy that had been enslaved with other Jews, sent word to the king, or came to the king himself, and he said if the king would give them an opportunity, he'd come back and tell him the meaning of that dream. When Daniel, who had prophesied of the kingdom of Babylon, heard Nebuchadnezzar's decree to slay Daniel and all the wise men, he went in and asked the king to give him time to figure out his dream and its interpretation. So Daniel went home, told the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and then the next day they go back to see the king because God has interpreted, revealed that dream to Daniel. So I want you to turn in your Bible with me and let's read some passages in Daniel chapter 2 and look down at verse 28. Daniel chapter 2. This is the way that history has shown us that took place as God was working with a pagan king. You know, God will work with pagans. He uses pagans sometime to fulfill his plans. And in Daniel 2:28, "But there is a God in heaven," Daniel told the king, "that revealeth secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." So God was using Nebuchadnezzar to tell about what's going to happen in the distant future. "Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." That's Daniel 2:28-29. Now drop down to verse 36 in Daniel chapter 2. "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory." All that Nebuchadnezzar had, God gave it to him. Nebuchadnezzar thought he had got it. Little did he understand God had given him that. "And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowl of heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Of all the nations that there would ever be, there'd never be one like Babylon," Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And then the fourth kingdom shall be strong as arm." So he's describing four different world empires that's going to be, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon Empire, which was seen as the head of gold of all the nations. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all things, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes are part potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest this iron mixed with clay, and the toes of feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And as in the days of the king, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:36 through 44. Now, the king had saw a great big statue, and it had a head of gold. His chest and arms were of silver. His belly and thighs were of brass, and the legs of iron. And down at the feet, the toes were of clay and iron, which showed weakness. That's the four world empires God said that would be. And Nebuchadnezzar was the head of all those world empires. These kingdoms were identified as a head of gold, a chest of silver, the belly of brass, and legs of iron with toes mixed with clay. Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold, a very proud king. His pride got him in trouble, but God humbled him one day. All of these kingdoms have come and gone in the centuries that have followed, except for the toes of iron and clay of the Roman Empire. For example, the Babylonians, which were recognized as the head of gold, were conquered by the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians were conquered by Alexander the Great. Alexander died at the age of 32, a drunkard, and his four generals divided the kingdom of Greece, over which Alexander was. And then the Roman Empire began 50 years before Jesus was born. And the Roman Empire later divided and fell in 476 A.D. This future manifestation of the Roman Empire that Daniel prophesied 2,500 years ago is going to take the form of a coalition or confederation of 10 world leaders that will come about in the last days and will encompass the same territory as the historic Roman Empire. This began to take place in the 1930s when a French man began to enlist 20 nations as what he first called the United States of Europe. However, it did not come to pass at that time, and so in 1946, after the devastation of World War II, Winston Churchill stated, "We must build a United States of Europe." So in 51, 57, and 73, nations in Europe have been coming together until there are, as of 2007, 27 nations in the European Union. We're slowly seeing God putting together what he had predicted all the way back to Nebuchadnezzar through his dream that Daniel interpreted. Remember our subject, how near is the rapture? While Israel is not part of the European nation, she would not be allowed to be a part if she desired. Israel is so hated, they won't let her be a part. We see that today, don't we? What is taking place now in the world is for the 10 toes of iron mixed with clay on this huge statue. It's the revived Roman Empire that will come to existence in the last days. Well, out of the European 10 nations, a dominant ruler will come to power after the rapture of the church. All these nations will have come together and be reduced down to 10. And a leader's going to come forth to be over those leaders after the rapture. Look what's going on in Europe right now, folks. The leader of these 10 nations will be the Antichrist, Satan's man, along with his false prophet. And then for 7 long, horrible years, these 2 satanic inspired men will rule the world entirely. This is right after the rapture. These 7 years are predicted in the Old and the New Testament as the most horrible time on earth the world has ever known. Now, you think we've heard about some bad times? We have. But Jesus himself said it's going to be the worst time there's ever been. Especially the last 3.5 years will be even when the wrath of God is even poured out, the last 3.5 years, on a Christ-rejecting world. Now, we see all these people out in the streets rebelling today, destroying people's property today. When the wrath of God falls on them, rather than repent, many of them will choose to be destroyed themselves by the wrath of God. God's not going to keep putting up with it, folks. God is sending his word out all over this country this hour. And people are having an opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom or to be destroyed. It's man's free choice. Now, we say here today with few in number. Many churches will be few in number. When the pews, every one, should be filled with people and people standing around the walls. Amen. Yes, sir. And the day will come they wish they had them. Amen. It's very disheartening to people like myself. But we cannot quit. Yes, sir. If they wouldn't listen to the Lord when he was here, how can I expect people to listen to me? Amen. 2/3 of all the Jewish people in the world will be killed during that 7 year. 2/3 of them. There's somewhere around 25 million Jews. Somewhere around that number. Most of them's in the United States and Israel. But they are in Russia and other places also. But most of them in those 2 locations. And God has protected them in our nation. That's why we're blessed as we are. You can believe that or not, but it's true. I believe. War, disease, hunger, and persecution will bring death and destruction during this 7 years of time, right after the rapture. Are you catching on? We're not going to be here if we are saved by trusting Christ as our Savior. We won't be here. We won't know about it. One thing we'll know about is what we know today. Amen? Isn't that good news? The Bible says God hadn't appointed us to wrath, but his wrath is going to be in the 7-year tribulation, especially the last half of 3.5 years. The book of Revelation tells us of the breaking of 7 seals, which will bring forth the judgments of God upon the earth. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. I think it would be worth our time together, although we have no doubt read it before, but to refresh our minds about this sovereign, holy God, who is the maker of the creator of all things, and who has a plan? In Revelation 6, verse 1, "And I watched, the Lamb broke the first of seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, 'Come.' I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow and a crown and was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gained the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living beast say, 'Come.' Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. There was war and slaughter everywhere. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, 'Come.' I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice among the four living beings say, 'A loaf of bread for three loaves of barley will come, cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and the wine.' When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, 'Come.' I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was Grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. And when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, 'O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they've done to us?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them. And I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree, shaken by a strong wind." Those verses describe the horrors, or some of the horrors, that's just some of the horrors, of what's going to be taking place during the tribulation time. I just read the first six seals. I didn't read the seventh. Because when the seventh seal is open, then seven trumpet seals will be exposed, and so on, to the finally there'll be 21 different judgments that sent upon this Christ-rejecting world, reducing mankind to only a few people is left to enter into Christ's kingdom. As already noted, Israel is back in her land after being absent for nearly 2,500 years. Folks, now that's a statement. She's been out of her land for all those many years. Now she's back. Folks, things don't just happen. God controls all events. She's back because God wants her back. She's surrounded by her enemies on the north, south, and the east. And on the west is the Mediterranean Sea. And everybody around her despises her. They hate her. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied in the last days that a group of arid nations in chapters 28 and 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, that a group of arid nations with Russia leading them would come down upon Israel to destroy her, but God would rise up and defend her, and 86 or 7% of all those Arab nations and Russia, they would all be destroyed on the mountains of Israel. Their attack will not succeed. Today, that group of Arab nations are allied, so the stage is right now set for Russia to make her move as soon as the rapture takes place. And you see how Iran and Russia is like this today? Russia supplied weapons to Iran. And Iran right now is shooting off missiles in defiance of what President Trump did the other day, imposing sanctions on them for breaking the treaty that has been signed by them. Folks, we're close to being gone. We're close to being gone. Already Israel has planned for making the tribulation temple. There's going to be a temple in the tribulation time where the Jews go to worship. And they're going to be allowed to worship the first 3 years, 3.5 years. And everything that's needed for that temple to be set up, I understand, is just about completely done. They have made the high priest his garments and the other priest his garments as well. They made all kind of tools and items that needed for worship. The brazen altar has been made. They've been looking for the red heifer. I have heard that they have found one. I don't know how true that is, but that's been rumored. With the threat of nuclear war and the restlessness of the nations, the rise of Islam, look how Islam has come to the forefront. And their whole history of Islam is conquering, fighting. Their plan right now, are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Amen. Their plan right now is to infiltrate this country. And after they get enough over here to rise up and take over the country. That's their policy. That's the way they operate. And our, may I say, stupid, gullible leaders of the past 8 years have just been bringing them in by the droves, letting them in by the droves. And them people don't believe in small families, let me say it that way. They believe in large families. See that, and see, Americans, we're down to 1 and 2 to the family. They have 6, 7, 8. It won't take long for them to have enough in the country. Church, the devil's a smart feller.
Yes, he is. Yes.
When I was in school, about the 5th grade, we were taught that there were you to be a citizen of this country, you had to come in there at Ellis Island and you had to fill out papers and wait 7 years. Now by the millions they're coming into our country without any papers. I believe the rapture's close, brother. How close are we? Close. I might not get through this morning. Are you ready? On the technology side of things, events can be seen as they occur from nearly any place in the world. It's amazing. Because of satellites that's up in the air, stationed up there. All around the world, you can get news or information. In fact, the other night when Trump was meeting in some of the ballrooms after his inauguration, they were showing pictures of some of the soldiers in Afghanistan at the same time. I mean, technology makes it possible to talk one-on-one to people around the world. Microchips now have been made that can be put in the hand or forehead that has all your life's history where you can be kept up with. Isn't that awesome? In fact, nowadays, you go to the doctor, and if you've been to the doctor before, your history is on the computer anywhere. The current rise of animosity towards Christians in the world, even here in America, is another indication of the nearness to the rapture of Christ's church. All these protests that's going on now, they don't like Christians. That's part of their agenda. They don't like Christianity. The divisiveness in our own nation and government must give warning. The end is near, folks. The end is near. Listen to what Jesus said. You might want to turn in your Bible to this passage in Matthew chapter 24. And I would mark it if I was you. Matthew 24. Here's what Jesus said. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Listen to that last phrase. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People's living their life, going about, expecting, got their plans for tomorrow, got their plans for next week, next year. They got their life all programmed out to do this, that, or the other. That's when the Son of Man going to suddenly allow the trumpet to sound and the church will be snatched out. While all the world is going, doing their thing. And can you imagine when people suddenly realize, my loved one is missing. My baby's gone. My wife's gone. My husband's gone. With all the wrecks this will be occurring, planes falling, cars crashing, trains wrecking. It's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be a horrible time. In Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope. Are you looking for the rapture? Do you ever think about the rapture? About the Lord coming and getting you? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Boy, it's going to be a morning when that trumpet sounds and we're caught up with our new body without arthritis. Amen. Philippians 2:3-20 says, for our conversation, or a better word, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible promises if you're looking for Jesus to come, you'll get a special reward just by looking for him to come. That's a dandy, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're not going to experience wrath. We have peace with God because of Christ. Folks, we're not going to go face judgment for sin. God's not going to beat us or whip us. We're going to be caught up to be judged to see how faithfully we served him. What did you do for him since you've been saved? How are you living? Well, the Bible says many will be ashamed at that time. Like Peter, who denied the Lord, was ashamed, went out and wept. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, what a scripture, beginning at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Think about all the cemeteries, and many of people in those cemeteries are believers in Jesus Christ. They're going to be raised up first with a glorified body. And at the same time, coming from heaven will be their soul and spirit to enter into that new glorified body. Ain't that going to be a merger? Now, you talk about a merger. Amen? Hey, the Bible says, then we shall, which are alive shall and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ rise first, then we up, and we'll all go up, the Greek says, in rank. I like to see the army, soldiers in company, or battalions marching in step. Well, we're going to go up in an orderly fashion because God is an orderly God, folks. He's an orderly God. The coming of Christ will find people busy with ordinary pursuits in life. As in the time of Noah, only those who are prepared as Noah was will escape. The sudden and unexpected destruction with the wrath of God. Think of all those people in Noah's day. Noah was in that boat with his family, eight of them. And God, the Bible says, shut the door. That meant nobody else could get in. And the only people that's going to be able to get into heaven is those that have been sealed by the Spirit of God because they believed in Jesus as their Savior. Nobody else is going to get into heaven. No matter how much they cry, beg, plead, scream. There comes a time it's too late. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you could, you'd be happy just to hear the sound of the trumpet right now? We'd leave all of our problems behind, all of our sorrows behind. That day's coming. That day's coming. It could happen in any second right now because there's nothing else in this old book that says that's prophesied to take place. Right now, the Lord could come. The Lord could come. My mama used to say, come on down, Lord Jesus. Come on down. I can just see her in the backyard now doing that. He's coming one of these days. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. and we'll be called away. And you know what's the good part? We'll be called away forever. And we won't have to come back to this world when it's in turmoil, folks. Except when Jesus comes to put down all the rioting and all the rebellion, we'll come back and we'll witness that when he puts it to rest. And then he'll set up a 1,000-year kingdom. This world will, the curse will be lifted. There'll be such peace and prosperity. No more wars. Prosperity, how the earth will yield the fruits. It's going to be a golden 1,000-year age with Christ sitting over there in Jerusalem. And we'll be ruling with him. Amen? What a future. You know what, folks? We could go off into it any second. Let's be ready. Let's be serving him, loving him. We won't ever regret it. Father, thank you for this time, this opportunity you gave us today to try to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the grace of God that extended to all who will receive him. Bless, encourage our heart, challenge our hearts, and we thank you for all you do for us in Christ's name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts. The Lord spoke to someone today. Why don't you come to the altar, just praise the Lord. Make your petitions to the Lord. Remember our people in the salvation box to pray for those folks. They need prayer. They're in darkness. God wants to give the salvation of the Lord to anyone, anywhere.